My name is Mark Rowe.
And my name is Samantha Rowe.
And we were created to become like Christ.
The very first time I met Mark was at Schaefer Camp. And he had this really long, curly hair, and I thought he was ugly. But then a few years later, we were both chaperoning kids camp, and he had shaved all the hair off, and he was wearing a UK hat, and I was very distracted, I'll just say, that whole week of camp, and he definitely caught my attention, and I started to see him a little bit differently. My spiritual journey began when I was 8 years old. That's when I accepted Christ at Vacation Bible School at my church. And since then, it has been a constant seeking of God through camps and youth camp and more Vacation Bible School and attending a Christian college and having Christian friends and being surrounded by a Christian family.
I was fortunate to be raised in a Christian home, but I realized at a very early age that was not the most important thing. There are a lot of people out there that are raised in Christian homes that maybe don't ever accept Christ. But I accepted Christ at the age of 7. Athletics has always been a big part of my life. Specifically, I love to run. That's always been a big part of my life. I first felt the calling to go in the coaching profession probably my senior year of high school. It was during that time I started to look past just being in high school and running for myself and started to think about what could I give back to others. God has put young people in my path on a daily basis to share the love of Christ with them in any way that I can. And that takes different, ought to take different forms each day. It may be giving a kid a ride home. It may be giving advice to a kid. It may just be being there to listen when they're having a problem.
God has always been involved with my passion of teaching because He put that passion in my heart in the first place at a very young age. I know my students often notice things. They notice how I react about different situations. They want to see the things I'm going to say and how I'm going to respond. And I think even through those situations, I'm able to, you know, to show them that, you know, I'm different. And, you know, hopefully they can see the love of Christ in me.
One thing that the coaching has taught me is the fact that, you know, I may have a team or an individual not run well, and I can go home from that, forget about it, move on. The same is true in life. We may fail God in life. We may make mistakes. But it's at that time we realize a great deal about God's forgiveness and God's grace in our lives. I see His grace in my life every day. Every moment of the day. As Christians, we still do fail God, but the great thing about His grace is that He no longer counts our sins against us. We've been forgiven. His blood has covered our sins once and for all. So that is the great thing about God's grace.
Even in hard times, a lot of Christians kind of want to run, or it gets too hard, but those really are the times that God has planned for you to make you stronger. And you'll see that, you know, once you're through that situation. So if you are going through a tough time, like we all do, and we all have, and we all will again in the future, I encourage you all just to stay consistent in your faith and to constantly seek after God and His will, because He really does have a plan and He wants to make you stronger in that situation.
My name is Mark Rowe.
And my name is Samantha Rowe, and we were created to become like Christ, and so are you.
They were created to become like Christ, and so are you. You know, Mark apparently was wearing that UK hat when he met Sam. And did you know he was still wearing it in the video? Did you know that? Did you see that? And what I love about Mark is there's only two places you will see him without a hat on. That's at church, and that's when he's teaching school. He's wearing a hat every single, I think he sleeps in a hat, you know? And it's that UK hat. But no, we appreciate Mark and Sam who set us up for the sermon today as we are talking about what on earth are we here for? Why has God allowed us to be here on earth? Why has the Lord placed us on earth? Why has the Lord allowed us to be born? And the truth is, everybody here has purpose. And what we are discovering is that nobody's an accident, nobody's illegitimate, that we all have a plan, and God has a plan for you. Now, we discover our plan not through self-introspection. A lot of people think that. They think, well, I discover my purpose, or I make my purpose, or I do this in my life, or whatnot. When in all reality, it's not left up to us to define our purpose. It's the Lord who defines our purpose. It's God who tells us why we're alive. So we turn to the Bible, we turn to Scripture to allow the Lord to define our purpose. And here's what we're learning so far. We've learned that God has a call for every single person. Then we learned that our very first purpose in life is that we are to worship God, that we are planned for God's pleasure, that our reason we're on earth is to give praise to the Lord and to let God love us, just to let the Lord love you. Let the love of Jesus be all over you. And then last week we talked about how that we are formed for God's family and how we have a purpose, and that purpose is connected to other people, that we need to be part of a church family. We need each other. I need you, you need me, and we need to be together. Now, we're going to talk about our third purpose and third calling in life today. If you have your bulletin, flip it over in the back. The sermon notes are there. Get your Bible out. Mark these Bible verses as we go along, as we study that. Now, our last week's memory verse was from Ephesians 2, but this week's memory verse is from Romans 8:28. So, Eric, if you would throw that up there, if it's on there. And this is what it says. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. This is our memory verse for the week. So let's say this out loud together. Are you ready? Here we go, church. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. Good job. Now understand, that's a wonderful Bible verse. All things work together for good. But for who? For those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That is a promise that we have as Christians. Now, understand that not everything in the world is good. There's a lot of bad stuff in the world. Did y'all know that? A lot of bad stuff. But the Lord is promising that those who are called according to His purpose and that love Him, that all the bad junk can work for good, and only by God's gracious, powerful hand is that capable. Now, a lot of people love this verse. We know this verse. Who's heard that verse before? Yeah, actually, if you were here on the first Sunday of the sermon series, you heard that verse, by the way, if you were here, and we've heard it before. But as we memorize that verse to encourage us, we often forget about the next verse, which is Romans 8:29. Now, I want us to look at that one, too. And Eric's going to put that one on the screen. And it says this, for those He foreknew, Romans 8:29, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And that's Romans 8:29. It's on in your bulletin there. Now, this is a verse that a lot of people get kind of nervous about, because there's some big words in Romans 8:29. There's some big words in there. For example, foreknew, predestined, conformed. Some weird stuff going on in here. But I want to tell you, this is a very important verse for us, because it literally outlines God's plan for our life. If you got your bulletin and your Bible open, Romans 8:29, just look at it real quick. Look what it says. Those He foreknew, He predestined. Now, a lot of people in today's church and popular thinking and things like that, they want to focus on that word predestined. They want to focus on that. And they say, what does it mean to be predestined? What is going on? This is wild. This is mind-blowing. But stop right there just for one second. You skipped a very, very important word. Now go back and look what it says, Romans 8:29. Those He what? He foreknew, He also predestined. Now understand this real quick. God knows everything. Look at your neighbor, and say, buddy, He knows. Just tell him. Buddy, He knows. He knows. Now, a long, long time ago, before the world was ever created, He knew you were going to be here. He had a plan for you, a purpose for you, a desire for you. And He actually knew those that would believe in Him and those that would not believe in Him. He knew that. And for those that would trust in Him and believe in Him, those He foreknew, He predestined. Now, what does that mean? That's a big word. Don't let it scare you. It's okay. Y'all big boys, y'all big girls, y'all can handle it today. That doesn't mean God's handpicking some to be saved and some to go to hell. That's not what that means. What it means is this, is that those that He knew that would give their lives to Christ, He had a game plan for them from day one. Here's what's really awesome. God has a game plan for your life. The Lord has a plan for your life. And it's been planned a long, long time ago. And you can look what that game plan is. To be conformed to the image of His Son. So what's the game plan? He knew you'd get saved. Those that He knew that would be saved, He had a game plan started. And that game plan was what? For you to look like Jesus Christ. To be conformed to the image of God. I've always been the kind of guy who's had a problem with conformity. Can you believe that today? All right? I've always been that kind of guy. In high school, all 4 years of high school, freshman, a sophomore, junior, senior, every one of my pictures had me in a Hawaiian shirt. Every one of them did. And some that are here can testify about that. When I was 16 years old, my dad gave me a 1989 Firebird with T-tops. Now, that's not as cool as you think it sounds, okay? You know, that's just not as cool as it sounds. But in college, I said, man, I'm going to have some fun with this old 89 Firebird. I was still wearing my Hawaiian shirts, by the way, back then. So I was like Hawaii 5-0, dude. I had it going on. And here's what I did. I saved my money up, and I had my 89 Firebird with T-tops painted plum crazy purple with a black racist stripe down the hood of it. And boy, it looked ridiculous. I'm just going to tell you, right? It's not as cool as it sounds looking back, but it was just me. It was just me. And here's what I blared. I would drive around campus, ask Taryn, she can give witness to this, blaring just 80s music. Man, I had Falco rocking. I had Aha rocking. I had Blondie going. Dude, that was me. And everybody's like, Kenny, this isn't the age you live in, okay? And I get that, and I know that. It's just me. It's just me. So I've always been the kind of guy who's just kind of been my own dude. I'm just me. And by the way, here's what I'm learning. You know it's okay to be who God created you to be? Do you know that today? It's okay to have the hobbies you have and the likes you have and the weirdness that you have. That's okay. And God can use every bit of that. Now, sin's a different story. He's wanting you to be born again from your sin. But your personality is shaped. That's a whole other sermon. Amen. But He's got something for everybody. He can use you. Don't ever be afraid how God wired you. Everybody's made on purpose today. But here's the thing. I've always had a little bit of a problem of conformity. So when I hear a verse like, God a long, long time ago had a game plan for conformity for my life. Boy, that just doesn't sound good. I mean, I read that, and I'm like, man, that just sounds... Man, God, why did you have to put that in the Bible? You know, why? But then again, here's what I'm beginning to think. Did you know that we're going to conform to something no matter what? No matter what. And you know what? The Lord's plan is for you to conform to Jesus, which means that you'll look like Christ, that you'll bear fruit like Jesus, and you'll live like Jesus. He's not going to rob you of your personality and your likes, unless they're sinful. He will take those out if they're sinful, but your personality, He's going to use all that. But here's what's neat, you ready? Is that if you don't conform to the image of Christ, the world's going to get you to conform to its image. The world will try to get you to look like it, to speak like it, to think like it, to hate like it, to run people down like it, to be unforgiving like it, to be nasty like it. And that's what the world will do. The world will try to get you to become like it and to live like it. And by the way, where does that send you? Straight to hell is where that sends you. There's a real hell, and it's reserved for those that don't know Jesus and who reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But let me tell you this real quick. God's not God's plan for you. His plan for you is to know Him and to grow into Him. So when you read this verse, He's not trying to rob you of who you are. He's trying to complete who you are. You with me on that today? Look at your neighbor again. Look at him. Look at him. Don't be scared to do this, all right? And say, He's not robbing from you. He's completing you. Now understand that. He's completing you today. He's making you into His image. So that tells us what our third purpose and calling in life is. Are you ready? Our third purpose and calling is this. To become like Christ in our daily life. That doesn't mean you're going to become a god. That's not what we believe. There's only one God, and He's Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're not going to become gods. We'll never be a god. Never be a god. But our lifestyle and our actions are supposed to look like Jesus. So His plan and your purpose for your life is, listen, if you work in a factory, it's for you to represent Jesus in that factory. If you work in a school, it's for you to represent Jesus in that school. So many people think, well, my purpose is tied to my job. And we've just blown this out of the roof, haven't we? Your job can change, but your calling doesn't. So it doesn't matter what your job is. You're still a minister. You still have purpose. You still have meaning. It's being Jesus on the job place. That's your calling. That's your calling. So if you teach or you're a manager or you sweep streets, I don't know, do it for Jesus. You do it for the Lord. That's His plan for you. And God is trying to work that into every ounce of your life, that you'll be a godly daddy, a godly mommy, a godly wife, a godly husband, that you will live like God and look like Jesus Christ. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could spend 10 minutes with Jesus on earth right now? Wouldn't that be great? If He bodily came in here and sat up here, wouldn't we just want to interview Him and talk to Him? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And here's what's great right now. He is wanting to just shine through us. He's seated at the right hand of God, but the Lord right now is wanting to use each and every one of you as His ambassador and His representative on His behalf so people can get to know Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's His plan for your life. And if you don't desire to become like Jesus in your walk with God and to grow into Jesus, then you are missing a reason why God puts you on this earth. You're missing a reason why the Lord puts you on this earth. So the question is, how do I become what God calls me to be? Well, let's look at this real quick. And we got a lot of points, and we'll go through them quickly, so hang tight, okay? But Mark reminded us, and Sam reminded us about how the Christian journey can be tough and hard, and how it can be difficult, and how goals are there, and obstacles are there in front of our goals, and it's hard, but the Christian journey is a progress and a path. We chose Mark and Sam because, particularly also because Mark is a runner, and the Bible says a lot about Christian growth, and it compares it to running a race. So if we're going to become like Christ, we have to enter the Christian marathon, okay? We got to get into the Christian race this morning. So a lot of racing imagery is from the Bible this morning. But here's what we need to do. You ready? As we grow closer to God, if we're going to become what God wants us to be, first, we need to simplify our lives. We need to simplify my life. Simplify my life. Hebrews 12:1, the very first part says, therefore, since we also have such a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, underline this part in your Bible or in your notes, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us lay aside the things that weigh us down. Now, if you were to talk to Mark, he'll tell you that in a race, you got to just take off everything that's not essential. You talk to the other runners in here. You got to make sure that when you're running, nothing's holding you back. Nothing is slowing you down. You don't want to run a marathon with a duffel bag on your back. You don't want to do that. You want to get the right shorts on, the right shoes on, and you want to wear just the bare essentials. Now, in the Christian life, you're going to need to examine your life and simplify your life from things that slow you down on your walk with God. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But there's specifically two things that stop you from running the race that God has for you. Okay? The first one is the devil. Satan really wants to distract you. He really wants to trip you up and hurt your Christian walk. But the second, listen to this, is your flesh. Did you know your body and your physical earthly body doesn't want you to grow closer to God? When you begin that process of growing closer to God, you're going to have feelings that say give up. You're going to have feelings that say it's worthless. This is useless. This is useless. I can't do this. It's impossible. Understand that Satan is going to challenge you in your walk with God. And your very own flesh is going to challenge you in your walk with God. But it's at this point that the solution is to simplify. Elimination is necessary for you to grow closer to God. Okay, what kind of eliminations? Three things. You ready? You need to eliminate distractions in your life. Distractions. Boy, there are so many things in this world that will distract us, that will just take our focus off of God, that will take our focus off of the Lord. It will straight up distract us. For example, we spend all of our time watching TV. That's a distraction. It really is. Nothing wrong with TV. But if you spend all your time with that, you're going to just burn daylight, wasting time. And, you know, by the way, we have all kinds of distractions, all kinds of stuff. And you just need to eliminate distractions from your life. Second, you need to eliminate detours from your life. Detours. Ken, what are you talking about? Well, a detour is going around to get to somewhere else. How many of us in our walk with God, we want to go another way, our way, instead of God's way? That's the problem. We want to take another route rather than God's route. Well, Kenny, how do I know what God's route is? You ready? You read the roadmap today, all right? You read the roadmap. We're going to talk more about that here in a second. But we got to eliminate detour. Third, we need to eliminate dead ends in our life. Dead ends. Now, Kenny, what's a dead end? Dead end is straight up, you ready for this, sinful activity in your life. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. If there are things in our life that we have that are sinful, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us. And then here's a good old-fashioned biblical word, but it's here for you. Y'all big boys and girls today, y'all getting this, all right? It's called repent. You turn away from that sin. For example, let's say you have just awful language. Hey, that's not honoring Jesus. That's going to distract your walk. It's a dead end. Ask God to replace that language with the language of the Lord. Maybe it's bad thoughts and you are saying, Lord, these are thoughts that need to go. Maybe it's a participation in pornography, or it's unforgiveness in your life, or other things. Remove the dead ends. And let me speak to the mature Christians in here real quick, if I can. Well, who's the mature Christians? I'll let you decide that this morning. Amen. Don't just eliminate the dead ends from your life. Be helpful to eliminate the dead ends from others' lives. And let me explain that real quick. The Bible says that we have a lot of liberty. You read what Paul says. I'm talking to those that have been Christians for a while. So don't everybody check out on me. Just listen to me. The Bible says that we have a lot of liberty. But we are not to use that liberty to trap somebody in sin. Y'all with me on that today? Everybody wants to talk about alcohol. They want to debate about alcohol, debate about this, that. Is alcohol sin? Is it not? Let me just tell you this. No one's ever committed the sin of drunkenness because they didn't take a drink. Y'all with me on that today? No one's ever committed the sin of drunkenness because they didn't take a drink. Be mindful of things that lead to destruction in other people's lives. Be mindful of that, mature Christians today. As we grow closer to God and we get closer to the Lord, simplify your life. Simplify. Take off the things that distract us. Take off the things that hurt us. So as we run the race of God, second, we see this. Don't get impatient or in a hurry. Don't get impatient or in a hurry. Hebrews 12:1 continues to say, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. The race that lies before us. Now, as we talk about the metaphor of running, and as we do that, endurance is very important. You can talk to Mark, our resident runner in the house today. He'll tell you that you got to have endurance. You got to set your pace on the race. Because if you don't set your pace on the race, you will be a disgrace. Hallelujah. Yeah, you like that? There we go. No, you got to set your pace today, all right? Which means what? That endurance will happen. In the Christian life, hear me, you will have hardship. You hear me on that? You will. Well, Kenny, why does bad things happen to good people? That's a great question, but here's what you need to remember. If God the Father did not spare Jesus from going through hard stuff, He's not going to exempt you either. Y'all with me on that? If He didn't exempt Jesus, His own Son, from it, He's not going to exempt you from it. Understand that. But the reality is that we must set our pace, which means what? We need to know that this is a lifelong race that we're in until we get to the finish line. This is a lifelong race, which means that we got to adapt a right mentality. If you just think, well, hey, in 3 years, I'm going to be the next best thing that Christianity has to offer. I'm going to be cool as a cucumber, dude. I got this. And I'm going to do, hey, listen. All of us need to adopt a mentality that we're lifelong learners. That'll help us a lot. Did you know that? Lifelong learners. We don't have it together. I don't have it together. I learn something new every day. Do I make mistakes? You better believe I make mistakes. I have to be teachable in my life. I have to be teachable. If I'm not teachable, I will burn out. The end. Likewise, you do too. That's why we continue to do Bible study. Why we continue to go to church. That's why we continue to call on the name of the Lord. We got to have the mentality that we're in this for the long haul. That's why there's never enough Bible study. Never enough sermons. We're lifelong learners. Next, we see this. Stay focused on Jesus every day. Stay focused on Jesus every day. Look what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now listen, we believe that the Bible says for us to focus on Jesus for a reason. Now who is Jesus? Well, He is God who left heaven. He took on flesh. He was perfect. He never lied, stole, lusted, had any kind of bad thought. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. He went to the cross. He died. He came back to life for the forgiveness of our sins. We are told to keep focusing on Jesus every day. We're never to take our eyes off of Christ. So how do we focus on Jesus every day? You ready? By constantly thinking about Jesus. Now understand this. What you think about is what you become. For example, if you cannot soar with eagles today if you're running with a bunch of turkeys. Y'all with me on that? You can't soar with eagles if you're running with a bunch of turkeys. So if you put a bunch of junk in your mind, let me tell you, junk's going to come out of you. It's going to come out of you. If you are dwelling on this, it's going to come out of you. So therefore, you need to establish a daily time of learning and talking and growing close to God. Now, for those that's been in the Bible study, what do we call this daily time? We call it a daily quiet time. Amen. Yeah, y'all had it, right? A quiet time, okay? Now, every single Christian needs a quiet time. Now, what is that? That's a time in the morning or at night, whenever it is. For me personally, in the morning is the best because it helps me focus. It starts my day off. There's no distractions. It's how I get my day rolling. But it's when we open our Bible, our readings, we read, we let God speak to us, and we talk back to God, and we allow Him to direct our lives. Now, you need that every day. Well, Kenny, how can I possibly remember everything I read every day? You won't. By the way, do you remember every meal you've ever ate? You're still here today, aren't you? You know what? If you didn't have meals going into your body, you'd probably die. Is that fair to say? You may not remember every meal you've eaten, but you've eaten. Therefore, you're here today. In the Christian life, when we have a daily intake of God's Word through a quiet time, daily, our spiritual life will become more like Jesus when it's every day in the Word of God. Next, when it gets bad, remember the reward. When it gets bad, remember the reward. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says this, "Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown that will fade away, but we a crown that will never fade away." Back in the old days in ancient Greece, they would have races and marathons. And boy, these boys would train, they would do the hard things, and they would do this for literally a wreath. And history tells us that was made out of twigs and leaves. And they would wear that thing for a little while, and it would eventually fade away. That's where that comes from, fade away. They would wear that, and it would just fade away. And they would train for something that would just literally dissolve. Hey, how more important is it for us to be constantly in training with the Lord for something that will never fade away? But here's the deal. When it gets tough, when it gets hard, remember that there is a reward awaiting for those that serve Christ. It's a crown that never fades away. It's a heavenly reward. And one day when we get to God and the Lord gives us these rewards, hey, it's not because we're not going to heaven because of how good we were. We're going to heaven because of how we were saved, that God came in our life. He saved us. So when we get these rewards, you know what we're going to do with these rewards, these crowns? We're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus to say thank you for all you did for me. Boy, don't you want to say thank you to the Lord for sparing you from hell? Who wants to do that today? For His love for you? We remember the reward. Here's good news. As we remember the reward when it gets bad, good news. For the Christian, this earth is as bad as it gets. Y'all with me on that? For the Christian, this earth is as bad as it gets. Here's the bad news. For the person that doesn't know Christ, this earth is as good as it gets. It's as good as it gets. Remember the reward as we run and we gather closer to God. Next, gather a team to run with me. Gather a team to run with me. Hebrews 10:25 says, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Bible tells us that we're not to give up on meeting together as a church. This is very, very important. We're not to give up doing that because we need each other. We need to grow closer to each other. We need God. We need to be encouraged. The Bible would tell us that the reason we meet together is to promote good, to promote love and good works, it says in Hebrews 10:24. So with that being said, you need to be committed to a local church. Now, in your team, as you are part of a church team, okay, they're going to encourage you. You know what? When you're running that race and you're about to give up and you look over there at that teammate and say, hey, we can do this. We can go together. We can do this together. They will be the encouragement. Now, with that being said, you need two types of teams in the church. You need the big team. What's the big team? You ready? This is the big team. You ready? Look around. This is the big team. This is it. And you know what? It can just get bigger. It can just get bigger. Doesn't matter how big the big team gets. It can keep on getting bigger. It can triple, quadruple the size. Big team's big team. We rejoice. We celebrate. It's awesome. But not only do you need a big team, you need a small team too. And that small team is going to run with you and help you and encourage you. Now, in that small team, you're going to have hang-ups sometimes. And stuff's going to happen. Now, why? Because you're a sinner. And they are too. You put them together, sparks fly. Hallelujah. You know? But iron sharpens iron. It means that you must continually be offering grace, continually being willing to say you're sorry, continuing to love in spite of anything else. I put this on Facebook. I got it from Rick Warren. I want to say it again. A Christian who says they don't need a church or a small group is like a bee that doesn't need a hive, a quarterback that doesn't need a team, and a soldier who doesn't need a platoon. We need each other. If we're going to grow closer to God, you got to do it in the environment of our church. Next, remember that God is cheering me on at every step. He's cheering me on at every step. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Jesus Christ. He's going because God has called him. The key to growth in your life is to understand that you cannot dwell on your past mistakes, but you are to press forward with what God has for you. You will mess up. You will fall short. You are saved by grace and grace alone. You're kept by grace today. But understand me that when we want to give up because we messed up, that is not the reason to stop. You must continue to press on because God has called you. And I want to encourage you with something. No one wants you to grow more than God does. Nobody wants you to develop more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, take every step with purpose. With purpose. You know, I saw when I was getting pictures for Mark and Sam's video, I was looking at Mark's running videos. He doesn't know this, so he's really perked up right now, back in the back. And I saw a comment on one of his pictures. He said, my stride's not good on that picture. My stride's not good. I look at it, I think, dude, he's like half the size of me. Looks good to me, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm thinking. But for Mark, he knows what a good stride is, what a good step is, what a good step's not. Am I right, Mark? You know what that's like. At least agree with me for the sermon. Amen? There you go. All right? Bible tells us that we do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one being there. When you are in a race, you don't take off on this course or that course. You stay the path. You train for it. Likewise, a boxer, when he gets in that ring, he's not boxing over here in the air. He's boxing on purpose. Hey, in your spiritual walk and growth, You have to have purpose to your growth. You have to have a game plan. You got to have structure. Now, if you look on your bulletin, every Sunday we put this at the very bottom. Live for Christ, learn from Christ, love Christ. That's our mission statement. You can open up your bulletin. You can see what that means. See, as a church, we want to help structure purposeful steps of growth by reminding you to live, learn, and love. Live for Christ by being connected to Jesus Christ and His church. Learn from Christ by being connected to a small group. And love Christ through serving and telling others about Jesus. See, we've kind of mapped it out, a game plan for us to follow. So in your life, you need a game plan. Again, all right, when you do your quiet time, how are you going to do that? Where are you going to start? Can I make a pastoral recommendation? You ready? Start with the book of Matthew or start with the book of John. Read 3 or 4 chapters every day. Underline it. Yes, it's okay to write in your Bible. Highlight it, circle it, journal it, etc. as you have your quiet time. Hey, set a time. At this time in the morning or this time at night, the TV goes off or the cup of coffee comes out, I'm focused. We're going to have a quiet time. This is my time. Turn off the cell phone. Turn off the TV. This is my structured time that I'm going to live for God. It's critical. It's critical. Hey, taking purposeful steps is important. For example, if you never set apart your income to tithe, you'll never tithe. If you don't set apart and say, you know what, my family is going to give this to the Lord, you'll never do it. If you don't say, well, I'm going to have this time with the Lord, or I'm going to go on a mission trip this year, you'll never do it. You can't be a boxer who's beating the air. You got to step with purpose. Next, and it's the last one. I love this one. Realize what I don't finish, God will. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here's what I love. God leaves nothing unfinished. My house has projects that we start and never finish. Anybody else have that at all? God's house, he has no projects left unfinished. And some of y'all are thinking today, oh, Kenny, I'm such a mess. I'm just falling apart. How can God ever use me? Hey, can I encourage you with something? You're not done yet. You're not done yet. God is still working on you. He's still taking the kinks out of you. He's still adjusting you. And can I tell you something? That's never going to be fully complete until the day you cross into glory. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. It will never be complete until he carries you across into heaven. Now, I hope that encourages you because some of you are sidelined today in your race. Some of you are injured in your race. Some of you all are fatigued in your race. But the Lord's saying, don't give up. You're not done yet. Keep pressing forward. Now, guys, I want you to know that God does have a purpose in your life, and it's for you to look like Jesus more and more. There's a word for everything we've been talking about today. Write this at the bottom of your bulletin, discipleship. Just write discipleship. That's what your purpose in life, one of them is for you to grow closer to God and to be a disciple, a lifelong student in the school of Jesus. It's discipleship. So I want to ask you, how are you doing fulfilling that purpose today? I didn't say you arrived. I didn't say you arrived. I'm just asking, have you begun today? Maybe today your next step today is just to get in the race. You've never even entered the race. Kenny, if I was to die today, I'm going to hell. Christ is not in my life. Friend, I would challenge you and encourage you to give your heart to Jesus. He died on the cross for you. He rose again. Next, I would challenge those that are here that have given their life to Christ to pursue baptism or to sign up and go to Class 101, to get plugged in to a church, to begin that process of discipleship. And finally, I would challenge all of you to begin your quiet time. Just go ahead and write it down. I will begin my quiet time at this time every day. I will begin my lifelong journey of following Jesus by taking practical steps to follow Him. Guys, you don't have to live without purpose. You don't have to be a Christian that just hobbles along, weak and sick, your entire Christian life. But if you don't start today, it's going to be harder to start tomorrow. Y'all with me on that? It's going to be even harder to start the next day. I don't know where you are in your journey with God, but I hope you've begun today. I hope you have begun the journey. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you, and we thank you for Jesus. And Lord, in this time right now, we ask you to grow us and to disciple us. Father, that we would be a mature bunch of Christians. Father, I would pray today that you, Lord, would do a great work in this church. That Life Community Church would be a church that honors you and glorifies you and serves you. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, I would pray that they would give their heart to you and would be saved. God, I pray they'll quit making excuses. They would come forward and say, I need Christ in my life. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Continue to grow us, to lead us and teach us. Father, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Maybe now you need to come forward and make a decision or announce a decision that God has made on your heart. I'm going to invite all of you to stand as we worship. Feel free to come and pray as we stand and as we sing. As God leads you, would you come?